When it comes to our relationship with God, who has the authority to lead us? There's only one person, God alone. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. He is the one that we are to submit to, and that is why, to be led by the Spirit, we need to recognize His authority. But a third aspect of this being led by the Spirit, it also means that you have to have a visible relationship with God. Again, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, when I walk my dog, people know that it's my dog because there's a leash that is connecting me and my dog. People will know if you're walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit because there is a stronger and closer connection than any leash. It is the connection of having the Spirit leading you in front and you're following willingly, recognizing His complete authority. You're following in a submissive manner, and you're doing so in a way that displays your relationship with God, that you are a child of God. A person who is a child of God will be led by the Spirit. That's what it says there. If you are, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. If you're not being led and you're not willingly following, you've got to question that relationship. Because of the importance of being led by the Spirit, we better know who the Spirit is. After all, who alone should we completely surrender and submit ourselves to? Who alone has the authority and right to lead us wherever He wants us to go? Who alone can make us a child of God? The single answer to these questions is God alone. He alone. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And so, as God, He has a right to demand our submission. He has the authority that gives Him the right to lead us in our lives and in our paths. And He is also the one that brings to us that fellowship with God as a child of God. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God, and for this reason, you and I can and must be led by the Spirit. We must follow and submit to Him wherever He might lead. So the question that I'd like us to consider tonight, knowing how important it is to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, you've got to know who He is. How do you know that the Holy Spirit is God? How can you know that the Holy Spirit is God? First thing I'd like to look at on your message guide is the Holy Spirit is God by name. The Holy Spirit is God by name. In order for us to know anything about God, and to develop that relationship with God, we must turn to the Word of God. David once said about knowing God and His perfections in Psalm 139:6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Perhaps you've had the same experience. As you're reading the Word of God, or as you're hearing a message preached, and you listen to some attribute or something about God, and it's just so hard for you to understand. Perhaps there's a difficult doctrine. Perhaps there's a difficult concept that you just have difficulty grasping with your finite mind, the infinite character of our God. David felt that way. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. You see, God is infinite. His character and His nature and His attributes are so infinite that a finite mind cannot, in all the exercise of our physical and mental abilities, grasp who God is in His entirety. Now, we can learn some things about God through His creation. In fact, the Bible teaches that you can look at the world around you and get and glean some things about God. There is a place for the school of study called natural theology. That is where you look and consider what the world and the environment and the creation that you see teaches you about God. We know this because Jesus, or God said in Romans 1:20, that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That's a fascinating statement. The invisible things of Him. Things that we could never grasp otherwise. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, from the very beginning of time, and also through what He's made, it bears the stamp of the Creator, and it is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What are some things that you can learn about Him through this natural theology, looking and considering it and pondering it? Talks about even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Yes, you can learn some things about God through creation. But you also need to consider that what the world learns about God through creation actually doesn't propel them to God. It keeps them from God. What they learn about God from creation teaches them that they are ungodly, because they have a law written within their bodies, and as they do the things that are contained in the law of God, even without a knowledge of it, you know what? It's condemning them. And the more they know about God, or they think they know about God, as they consider the world and philosophers have considered God through their minds and through natural theology, and they've come up with all sorts of opinions and thoughts and philosophies, you know what? It has brought men further away from God instead of closer to God. Why? Because even though you may learn some things about God through His creation, you cannot come to know God, really know God, except through what He chooses to reveal about Himself and through the manner in which He chooses to reveal Himself, through His Word. Even though natural religion, even though natural theology is something that we can learn some things about God through, nothing can take the place of the special revelation of God. You can know some things about God, but you can never truly know God apart from His Word. If you want to learn about God, you've got to go to this book. Because this, He reveals Himself in His glory and in His beauty and in a way that nature never could. If you just go outside and think about the wonders of the creation and how it points you to God, and you never go to the God of the book, you will be led astray. But as you focus on the things, our eyes will see more beauty in this world as we look through the lenses of His Word, because it really displays for us His glory. Now, why am I telling you this? Because even though much of what we learn through His Word may still be difficult, even a mystery, we can accept it as truth. We don't have to guess, because God is truth, and everything that comes from God through His Word is truth. So in other words, we need to find out the truth about the Holy Spirit. And to find out the truth of the Holy Spirit, we've got to go to His Word. We would have never known about the Holy Spirit apart from His Word. So praise God for giving us His Word to hone our attention, to give us a behind-the-scenes look, if you will, of what God does and who God is through the work of the Holy Spirit. To find out the truth about the Spirit, we can only turn to the Word of God. We cannot turn to personal things, like personal experiences. Now, unfortunately, many get their understanding of the Holy Spirit through some of these personal experiences. You know these people as well as I do. People that said, well, God has spoke to me and said this, that, and the other. Or I had this dream or this vision, and the Holy Spirit moved me in this way. Or churches will say, we want only to be led by the Spirit of God in how we conduct worship. And they don't explain to you how they come up with how the Holy Spirit leads them to conduct worship. And they say, well, it's an experience that I can't really explain. You and I will never learn about the Holy Spirit through personal experiences. We will learn it from the Word of God. This is where we're going to find the truth. And we need to base the experiences that we have, or that we've heard about, or that we've seen, upon the Word of God. Because this is where the truth is. That's why I'm not going to come up and tell you how I have found out how to live the Spirit-filled life. Because my experience really means nothing to you. But we're going to look at the Word of God and consider about the Holy Spirit. It's not personal revelations or personal opinions. It's only through the Word. But because people do get their understanding of the Holy Spirit from other sources, very often they have a false understanding of it. This will create a problem, because they're not able to be led by the Spirit if they don't know Him. They will not be able to walk in the Spirit, and that's why a true biblical understanding of the Spirit is absolutely essential. So how do we know that the Holy Spirit is God? Because we go to the Scripture and find out from the Scripture what it says about Him. The Holy Spirit is God by name. We're going to be looking at a few passages that give us this evidence. Turn over to Acts chapter 5, if you will. If you remember the story here in Acts chapter 5 of the early church, we have a story of Ananias and Sapphira. who were impressed that someone gave everything up for the service of God in the church. And so they decided amongst themselves that they were going to sell some land and they were going to give the money to the church. But they said, we're going to hold back some of it because they don't know how much we're going to give or how much the land is going to sell for. We're going to give a portion of it and keep some of it back. And of course, Ananias and Sapphira, you know the story. They went up before Peter and they lied. Peter even distinctly said, is this everything? And they said, yes, it is. And they lied. But they didn't just lie to him or the rest of the early church. Peter says, you lied to God. And you lied to the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, I'm not going to get into the entire story, but look at what it teaches us about the Holy Spirit and about His deity. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? This is a very serious charge and a very serious crime. Peter said, you are lying to the Holy Ghost. You didn't just lie to me. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. And then he adds, you're lying to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of this land. While it remained, he says, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Here we have the Holy Spirit being equated and given the title and name of God. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, lied to God. Why? Because God is the Holy Spirit. We have the name of God given to the Holy Spirit. There's a few other passages I'd like to look at. 1 Corinthians, if you turn over just a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a tremendous passage. Again, some of these we'll be looking back at for their lessons on what the Lord does through His Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians 3:16 it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? So here, God has established a temple within you as a believer. You are the temple of God. And then He says, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Here we have two distinguishing persons, God and the Spirit of God, dwelling in the same temple. Again, showing to us that God, or the Holy Spirit, is God by name. Then another passage, just over a book, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. This verse says, now the Lord... Now that word Lord often is translated and given for the word Jehovah. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Again, we see that the Holy Spirit is God by name. The Bible teaches us this. Even though the Holy Spirit is mentioned throughout the Old Testament, we come to the light of the New Testament and expresses and explains to us the mystery of that triune God. We can do the same thing with God the Father and God the Son and, of course, God the Holy Spirit. We're not going to take the time to do that. But the point is, we may not be able to put all those pieces together. We may not be able to reconcile in our mind how there can be three distinct personalities as we see through the New Testament and how there can only be one God as it clearly teaches in the Old Testament. And people have come up with analogies about the Trinity all from the very beginning of church history, and we still have trouble understanding all that it means. But just because the Bible teaches that God the Father is God, God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God, and we can't reconcile it in our minds, does that mean it's not true? God is far infinite than our minds will ever know. And as we learn about God the Holy Spirit, we must remember that He is God, and given that title by name. But when we think about being led by the Spirit of God, in order to be led by Him, we've got to know Him. Because the Holy Spirit is God by name, you and I must willingly submit to Him as God. Only God has the right to call you and to call me to follow you, or to follow Him, and to lead us wherever He wants. And if the Holy Spirit is not God, what right does He have to lead us in this life? That is why it is important, and that is why it is critical for us to understand that He is God. Because as God, He has the right and deserves our wholehearted submission as we follow after Him, no matter where He takes us. The Holy Spirit is God by name. But secondly, we see that the Holy Spirit is also God by nature. The Holy Spirit is God by nature. We see from the nature and characteristics of God that the Holy Spirit also possesses the same nature and the same characteristics that we see is ascribed to God. From the Word of God, we know that only God is holy, completely holy. Now, God does tell us as believers to be holy, for I am holy, and He does enable us through the work of the Holy Spirit. But when we consider the holiness of God, what does it say about the Holy Spirit? In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, you turn over there for a moment. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I think it's 10:14. Let me double check. I think I wrote it down wrong. Someone, if they have it, let me know. I wrote that one down wrong. But He is given the description Spirit of Holiness. Now, this is not something that is a derived holiness that we receive from God, but rather it is an essence of holiness. This is His nature. This is His character. This is who He is. He is the Spirit of Holiness. And if only God is holy, and the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Holiness, He must be the Holy God. Let's move on. 1:4, thank you. 1:4, just cross off the 1. Not only is God holy, but only God is eternal. Only God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only God is the one who in the beginning created this entire world and system that we see and experience. Only God is eternal. But if you turn back to Hebrews chapter 9, we see that this same characteristic is given to the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Describing to us that sacrifice that Christ made, he says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" We have here a description of being eternal to the Holy Spirit, which makes Him the eternal God. We have evidence of this in the very earliest verses of the Old Testament. If you remember in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The Spirit of God was there at the very beginning. Why? Because He is eternal. He is the eternal God. And as the eternal God, we can follow Him as God and submit to Him as God and recognize His authority as God. Not only is God eternal, but only God is omnipotent. That word means all-powerful, with all power. Only God has the power to create and sustain. But think about the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at Luke chapter 1, when God is telling the ladies, Elizabeth and Mary, about the children that they will bear, and how one of them would be the child of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." In other words, the Holy Ghost would make that which is humanly impossible, which is a virgin to conceive and bear a son, the Holy Spirit would make that which is humanly impossible, possible. And if you remember the answer, Mary said unto the angel in Luke 1:34, "How shall this be, seeing I don't know a man?" Then verse 37, the angel says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The Holy Spirit is omnipotent as well. Not only is God omnipotent and eternal and holy, but we're going to go through these quickly. Only God is omniscient, which means He has knowledge of everything. Events that are past, present, and future. Things that are possible and potential and will never happen. He is able to recognize everything in a moment. It It's an eternal presence. He is omniscient. Isaiah 40, 13 through 15 describes for us the omniscience of the Holy Spirit because He also is God. It says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being His counselor has taught Him? Who needs to teach the Spirit of the Lord? He's omniscient. With whom took He counsel? Or who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment and taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, even to the Spirit of God, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the islands as a very little thing. God, only God is omniscient. And the Holy Spirit is omniscient. Therefore, He is God. Only God is omnipresent, and so is the Spirit. Psalm 139:7. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Only God is sovereign, as we go down the list. John 3:8 describes a powerful lesson about the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, the wind goes where it wants to. And you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it came from and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. As the wind is completely free and independent, so is the Holy Spirit. He is a free and independent agent. He is sovereign over His own will. He is God. And because the Holy Spirit is God by nature, through the characteristics and the nature that we see that God possesses, you know how we ought to follow Him? We need to follow Him wherever He takes us. Whenever He takes us, whenever He leads us, and however He does. He has that right. He has that authority because He is God by nature. And if we desire and seek to walk in the Spirit, we must be led by the Spirit and recognize His full authority as God to lead us wherever He wants. Have you ever resisted the Spirit? Have you ever known from the Word of God that there was something that you were to do or go or tell the Word of God to someone, or perhaps a job or something that the Lord was giving you an understanding, and you resisted the Spirit? Yes, we can resist Him. We can resist His leadership and not follow Him in a willing way. But in doing so, we're not walking in the Spirit. And we will lose the power that God desires to bring through us and to us through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God by nature and is worthy to be followed. But third, also, the Holy Spirit is God by nobility. He has the majesty. He is God. After all, only God could perform the noble work of creation, providence, and inspiration, as we look at these briefly. Only God could perform the noble work of creation. In the beginning, God created. Only God could create. Yet in Job 33:4, Job testifies that the Spirit of God hath made me, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, to reveal the working of the Holy Spirit, even at the very beginning of time, God says through Job, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Only God could perform the noble work of creation, and the Spirit of God did create. He is God. Only God could perform the noble work of providence. Providence is God's control over the affairs of this life. He didn't just set the world in motion like many of the deists believe, and now He just lets it run its course. He is actively involved in the affairs of this life, and it's not just here and there. We talked about the omnipresence of God. He is working even now in every single one of our hearts tonight. He is working. He is moving. He is here tonight, and He is doing a work of providence throughout this entire world. In Acts 16:6 and 7, we see a powerful lesson of God's providence for Paul and Timothy as they were on a missionary journey. It says that when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So here we have the Spirit of God impressing upon His people, Paul and Timothy, not to go, providentially preventing them. He's doing the work of God because He is God. And only God could perform the noble work of inspiration. Only God could reveal Himself to us. And He does so through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. 2 Peter 1:21, a familiar verse about inspiration. The prophecy of the Old Testament. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He is the one through whom this scripture was written. That is why we must follow Him and submit to Him, because these words are the words that He breathed out. They're the very words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is theo or theopneustia. God breathed. Inspired. If it's God breathed and the Holy Spirit spoke through these men, the Holy Spirit is God speaking. And because the Holy Spirit's God by nobility, His noble work of creation, providence, inspiration, when He leads you, it displays your relationship with God. It shows that you're a son or a daughter of God. Knowing who this Holy Spirit is the first step to being able to walk in the Spirit. Without the knowledge and truth that the Holy Spirit is God, there would be no basis for us to follow the Spirit of God and be led by Him. But with that knowledge and that truth, there comes some very important application, as we've been considering all along. Do you realize that because the Holy Spirit is God, you and I have certain responsibilities to Him? Think about these. You have a responsibility to willingly submit to the Holy Spirit. Even when the Holy Spirit is doing a work of illumination in your heart and He's bringing to you something in mind that is even difficult or disturbing to you, do you realize that you have a responsibility, because the Holy Spirit is God, to submit, willingly submit to the teaching and instruction of the Spirit of God? When you are confronted about sin through the work of conviction that the Holy Spirit does in our hearts, do you realize that you have a responsibility to willingly submit? Has God ever spoken to you about a sin in your life or some area in your life that you needed to fully surrender to Him and get right before God, and you resisted Him? That's not walking in the Spirit. To being led by the Spirit, recognizing that He in His own nature is God and has every right and authority to convict you of sin, you and I must, as a child of God, submit to that authority, recognize that conviction, and surrender that sin. Confess it before Him. We also have a responsibility to willingly submit when we're prompted to pray through His work of intercession. He puts a person or something in your heart to pray for, and you do not pray for it. Are you being led by that Spirit of God? You have a responsibility to willingly submit when the Spirit of God is working in your life. Why? Because He's God. And you must submit to Him. You also have a responsibility to willingly follow the Holy Spirit, because He has the authority and right to lead you. Wherever He wants to. Wherever. Whenever. And however He wants to. You have the responsibility to willingly submit and follow Him, because He has the right to take you wherever He wants. Why is it that some men and some women, even at the oldest age, would leave everything comfortable in this world and go overseas, perhaps to Africa or some other place, to tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ? To give up the comforts of home, to give up the things in this country of ours that are so convenient and so nice. Why would they do that? Because they're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to give up everything that you know? Everything that is comfortable? Everything that is enjoyable? Everything that you see in this world? Would you be willing right now, if the Holy Spirit was moving you on to another location, would you go? If you're not willing to go and follow the Holy Spirit in that way, you're not being led by Him. And you're not walking. And you're not obeying Jesus' command to walk in the Spirit. This is why it is so important for us to realize that the Holy Spirit is God. Because with that realization and that possession of that knowledge and truth, you and I will willingly follow Him wherever He takes you. I've mentioned here before, when we went to Florida and candidated a church, I looked at my wife and said, only God could call us here. And you know what? God did call me there, I'd go. I'd probably even go willingly. I may not like the looks of the place. It may be really hot and may not enjoy it a whole lot, but I'll go. Are you willing to lift up all the tent pegs and everything that's holding you back here and willing to go wherever God wants you to go? Think about Paul. Timothy, going on all these trips, going to all these different places, never really knowing where they're going to set their next foot and where they're going to be able to sleep, where they're going to get their next meal, what they're going to be able to do, whether they're going to be stoned again or received or rejected. He didn't know, but he was willing to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit because he knew he was God and he was willing to submit. You have a responsibility also to display your relationship with the Holy Spirit because he will call you to become more like Jesus Christ. I want to end by looking at a passage in Romans chapter 12. When you and I recognize that the Holy Spirit is God and recognize His leadership in leading us and then are willingly submitting to that leadership, are willingly following that, and also willingly displaying that relationship that we have to Him, we are going to become more like Jesus Christ. And we will follow the example that we see in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Familiar verses which say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you are being led by the Spirit tonight, these verses will display that. You'll be living these verses out, displaying to the world that you have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the deity of the Holy Spirit is an important one for us. Because if we are to walk in the Spirit, we must be led by Him. To be led by Him, we must know Him. And as we know Him to be God, we must submit to Him. And as we submit to Him, we will fulfill what God has taught us to do by following and walking in Him. So, this is not just some dry lesson where we look at certain scriptures to give us some proof text. It's a real message for our hearts tonight to realize that this is what this teaches. It teaches that we have a responsibility to our God, the Holy Spirit. Let's be willing to follow Him wherever He goes. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You that You have given us the Holy Spirit. And I thank You that the Holy Spirit is God. I thank You that we can see that truth in the Word of God, because otherwise we would have never known anything about Him. So Lord, I pray now that we might walk in the Spirit by being led by Him, realizing that He has every authority and right to lead us, and that we have every obligation and really delight to submit and follow Him wherever He takes us. Oh Lord, I pray that we might, as a church and as individuals, be willing to submit and follow our God, the Holy Spirit. As He works and does His particular unique works in our life, I pray that we might respond as we ought to, realizing that when there's conviction of sin, God is working in our hearts. That when God is closing doors and opening other doors and opportunities, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in doing so. And we can joyfully follow Him, even if it means that we have to give up the comforts of this life in this world. Oh Lord, I thank You for sending the Spirit of God into our own lives, that we might be the temple, and that we don't have to have a leash to show that relationship that we have with our God, the Holy Spirit, but rather He indwells us and is with us and is able to direct us in our very hearts. So Lord, I pray that this week we might walk in the Spirit by being led by the Spirit. And as we're led by the Spirit, help us to be so willingly submitting our hearts and lives to Him every step of the way. And I pray that as we learn more about Your Spirit, that Father, if there are things that are hard to understand or things that are perhaps even distasteful to us in our own natural mind, I pray, Lord, that You'll still help us to submit as we see the truth from Your Word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.